There is something, when these Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in certain countries the subjects bow down before the king. So Nabi Kareem sallam refused the Sahaba to bow down before him, even as a token of respect. And he said, لَوْ كُنْتُ آمِرًا أَحَدًا أَيَّسْجُدَ لِأَحَدٍ لَأَمَرْتُ الزَّوْجَةَ أَنْ تَسْجُدَ لِزَوْجِهَا لَأَمَرْتُ الْمَرْأَةَ أَنْ تَسْجُدَ لِزَوْجِهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. That if for argument's sake, it is not permissible, but if it were permissible in our Sharia, for one person to bow down to another, then I would have commanded the wives to bow down before their husbands in order to acknowledge their status, the rights of the husbands over the wives. But even that I will not permit. Even that Nabi Sallam did not give permission for. So how can we go to these classes and bow down in front of the teacher? In no way is that acceptable. So nonetheless, this beautiful deen. That is why when Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that ayyu dhanbi a'azamu indallah, which is the greatest sin in the sight of Allah? Nabi Kareem sallam replied, an taj'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka, that we ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in spite of the fact that Allah is your creator. You acknowledge that Allah Ta'ala created you, He is your Khaliq, only He is worthy of being bowed down before. He is the only Khuda, He is the only Rabb, He is the only deity worthy of worship. So the greatest sin on the face of this earth is to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Luqman al-Hakim also said to his son, لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. Do not ascribe partners to Allah. That is the greatest form of shirk. Greatest sin. Ascribing partners to Allah is the greatest sin. Which is why in the Quran to Allah Ta'ala says, إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. That if a person dies as a mu'min, as a believing, that surely that is a great sin, a huge sin. So this was one example. If you look at our ibadat, the forerunner of our salah is wudu. Before that we need to attend to the call of nature. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the command of Allah, what the command of Allah was so particular that He even taught us the nitty and gritty of attending to the call of nature, how to relieve ourselves, what are the etiquette. When some mushrikeen learnt about this, that Nabi Kareem Sa'azam is teaching his Sahaba Ikram Radhiallahu Anhum Ajmain, grown up people, how to attend to the call of nature, of course it did not strike them that if attending to the call of nature is done in accordance with the sunnah, then even those 10-15 minutes spent in the toilet also become an act of ibadat, because it is done in accordance with the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some mushrikeen, in a very sarcastic manner, they said to the Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, that allamakum nabiyukum kulla shay hatta al-khira'a, that your Nabi has to teach you every nitty-gritty to the extent that He has to teach you how to attend to the call of nature. That is something that your mother ought to have taught you or to when you were an infant. Now you are adults. Hazrat Salman Farsi Radhan was totally unfazed by the sarcasm. He replied that Ajal Allamana Rasuluna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أن لا نستقبل القبلة عند البول والغائط وأن لا يستنجي أحدنا باليمين. That yes, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us when we attend to the call of nature not to face really on, but yet we do not appreciate it. These occasions come, festive season, we also become immersed in the celebrations of the Christians, becoming part of the Christmas celebrations. Guy Fawkes Day comes, our children also letting off firecrackers. Diwali comes, firecrackers. Halloween, which was something strange to this country, an American custom, all of a sudden we have Halloween here, where people dress in costumes. Some even dress as the devil incarnate, posing as the devil. Where is the leeway for this in Sharia? In this way we are going closer to the devil. People become involved with satanic cults, with these seemingly innocent little acts, but they become immersed. Eventually many people, Allah forbid, lose their iman also. So you're following all these customs, yet forgetting our beautiful deen, the deen of Islam. We need to become role models for the entire world. Then we'll become a draw card, a magnet. Without formally inviting people, they will see the beauty of Islam, coming to the fold of Islam. Take an example. If a person conjures up, dreams up, some new business project, a pilot project, he goes to wealthy people, wants them to invest, he puts a blueprint before them, explains all the nitty and gritty. They will have a look at the blueprint, listen to everything. But the first thing they will say, give us a model, very fine on paper, everything looks hunky-dory here on paper, but show us a living model of this business project. And if he has to show that a similar business project was successful in a certain part of the world, he will order the literature, brochures, pamphlets, pour through them and still not be convinced until he sees with his own eyes the success of that business model. So similarly, our situation. One person is a Hindu friend. He said to the Hindu friend, a Muslim's friend, a Hindu, sat down with him, explain to him the beauty of Islam. The Hindu, but tell me, my Muslim friend, all this is a mere philosophy. It is all in theory, in the pages of the book. Show me one country of the world that claims to be a Muslim country that practices Islam to the T, from A to Z, in all aspects. We cannot produce a single model. How are we going to attract people into the fold of Islam? So just as an investor wants to see a living model example, yet we as Muslims, many performing salah, deceiving the customers, cheating them. Boards in our shops, our akharati, yawm al-qiyamah, or kama qala al-islam. If a customer regrets purchasing a certain item, he returns it in its original condition. Refund his money. No stories about administrative expenses. Deduct that refund the full amount. Show them the beauty of Islam. Nabi Sallam says, if a person reverses that sale, Allah will reverse his sins on the day of Qiyamah. In other words, forgive his sins. But we fail to take cognizance of that. We conceal the defects in items. The hadith says that إِذَا صَدَقَ وَبَيَّنَ بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا وَإِنْ كَتَمَ وَكَذَبَ مُحِيقَتْ لَهُمَا بَرْكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That if the buyer and seller speak the truth, disclose a defect in the merchandise, in the money being paid, Allah will give barakah in their sale. Whereas if they lie, they conceal the defects, Allah will take away the barakah of their sale. So we need to show a living model to the world where Islam is correctly practiced. Then inshallah, people will see the beauty of Islam, will be drawn towards Islam like swarms of bees. But our attitude, our behavior makes people, on the contrary, turn away from Islam. We cannot show them the beauty of Islam in practicality. We can only show it on paper. People will say, there is history, your past predecessors. Show us one town or one area in a town in a Muslim country where Islam is practiced to the T, 100%. We are unable to produce such a model. On this, time is up. But after Isha, inshallah, we will learn what happened in Soviet Russia when people like Vladimir Lenin and Joseph Stalin were given a proposal to accept Islam. What reply did they give? We'll learn about that after Isha, inshallah.